Chuck, you were about to read the introduction to our rule workshop.
Okay, everybody back on board. It's 9:45, 9:46, actually, it looks like. So we'll continue with our meeting, and we'll start with the rule workshop for Rule 61G20-1.001, 7th edition, 2020 update to the Florida Building Code. To review, the commission started the 2020 code update process in October of 2017 with selection of the 2018 I code and the 2017 NEC. The commission made recommendations on the I code changes in June of 2018. The commission decided on I code changes in October of 2018. The TAC made recommendations on proposed code modifications in March of 2019. The TAC decided on public comment to TAC recommendations in July of 2019. The commission decided on code modifications for the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code in August of 2018. And the TAC made recommendations on public comments to the draft of the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code in January of 2020. At the February 7th, 2020 rule workshop, the commission voted unanimously to adopt the commission's package of approved code modifications to the 6th edition 2017 for inclusion in the draft 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code. Finally, in March of 2020, five TACs met to review topically relevant public comment submitted to the commission 2020 draft code and to provide commissions with recommendations. Today is the final rule workshop for Rule 61G20-1.001 on the draft of the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code. After the commission takes actions on the TAC recommendation, on submitted public comment and oral public comment provided during today's rule workshop, we will move to proceed with rule adoption for Rule 61G20-001, paren 1, Florida Building Code adoption, incorporating all approved amendments. Jeff will now explain the process to facilitate public comment and the commission's discussion. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, as our process for the commission review is, I'll introduce each of the comments first for the TAC affirmative recommendations. Those they recommended either approval as submitted or modified. We'll go through them one by TAC, energy, roofing, structural, and swimming pool, respectively. I'll ask if, then we'll go and review those other specific comments that were submitted in writing and attached to the BCIS from five different commenters. We'll go through theirs, take public comment, come back to the TAC, and the commission will make a decision on those in turn. And then finally, I'll ask if any member of the public wishes to make any additional comments on any code modifications, including those that the TAC did not recommend for approval. And then after that, the commission will move to proceed with rule adoption, incorporating any changes that were made today to their draft rule. I'll introduce each one. There'll be time limits of 3 minutes each, as we've done. Sorry, I just dropped my phone. As we've done in the past, there'll be one collective rebuttal opportunity of 2 minutes for the proponents and 2 minutes for the opponents. Again, as we've always done in the past, we'll come back to the commission and make decisions on each one in turn. That's the process. So first, we'll take up the TAC recommendations for approval or as approval is modified. Then we'll take up the five posted comments, and then we'll take up any additional comments that folks want to have considered.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes?
Give me a minute to explain the material, if you don't mind, after you finish.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely, ma'am. Thank you for reminding me. That's it. I think, does any commissioner have any questions on the process before I turn it to Mo to orient us to the materials and then start the public process? All right, Mo, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Mo Mandani. As you see from your the commission agenda. There's a link under item number 15 of the agenda that will take you to the code modification page, which is where you see the title of the page is Rural Development Workshop, April 7, 2020 workshop. And there is two major columns of materials in the metrics that you see before you. The first is what we started with the tax, which is really common to receive, and those were addressed by the tax during the tax meetings this month. And then, as you see in the second column, post tax, which is mainly the outcome of the tax recommendation. Comment received, you will see there the actual text of the code change or the proposed comment along with the TAC action. Also, you will see a summary of action. That's really, it provides for a summary of the action of the TAC along with the, the recommended action from the commission. Also, you see in some of these listings, it says additional comments with tax support. During the tax consideration of the code change, the tax or the proponent have discovered that certain improvements need to be made to the code change, and the tax supported that. So we have added that to the metrics, as you see, and also will be part of the summary of action consider this additional comment. Mostly these comments are improvement to what really we see the petitioner provided originally. The other thing we have, as Jeff said, in the bottom of the chart is additional comments. Those comments were received after the TAC consideration of the code changes. These are comments and are the subject for consideration by the commission. And Jeff will go through them individually. Any question about the structure, about the materials, please do. Otherwise, Jeff, take it from here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Okay, we're going to start with the energy tax recommendations, the five recommendations for approval. First is found on page 3 of the energy document. It was it's ENER chapter 4-6, comment number 1, submitted by Jeff Sunny of FSEC. And the TAC is recommended, the energy TAC is recommended approval as submitted. Jeff, are you there and wish to speak?
Yeah, this is Jeff Sunny at FSEC. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Great. So I won't go through the entire comment here unless there are questions, except to note that as the rationale states, this will be very helpful for code calculations. And the change from the February meetings version is addition of the exception for guest suites to address Florida Homebuilder Association concerns. And we appreciate their input on this.
All right. Any additional public comment in favor?
Joe Belcher, Florida Home Builders Association, in support.
All right, anybody else? All right, is there any opposition? Hearing none, coming back to the commission, is there a motion?
The motion, Smith.
Okay. Need a second.
Second, Warrior.
All right. We have a motion from Smith and Smith Burke. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. Next is found on page 2, ENEC chapter 4, comment number 2, also by Jeff Sunny of FSEC. Jeff?
Thank you. The Jeff Sunny Florida Solar Energy Center. And for this one, again, as rationale states, table C-404-2 comments here are intended to clarify several entries and also correct several of the category and subcategory entries and footnotes. And just a note that the PDF version linked separately is the correct version here. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else wish to speak in support? All right, coming back to the commission, is there a motion?
Motion to approve. Smith.
Schiffer, second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. It's unanimous as submitted. All right, comment number three. On page four of the document submitted by Jeff Sunny of FSEC. Jeff?
At Jeff Sunny of FSEC. So a question that came up here regarding the correct section reference for footnotes in these two tables, and it was has not been confirmed by ICC that R404.1 instead of R405.1 was intended and is the correct, so we would like to have that change made, please. Thank you.
Any additional public comment in favor?
Brian Holland. Nima Cook, Hendrick speaking in support. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Anybody else? All right, anybody wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, is there a motion from the town group?
Motion to approve. Smith.
Oscar, second.
We have a motion and a second for Smith and Kaye. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, next is comment number four submitted by Joe Belcher, Florida Home Builders Association, found on page five, Energy and Electrical. The TAC is recommending approval as modified with the additional comment which Mr. Belcher submitted and the TAC supported. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. To begin with, I just want to state this this change removes a section of ASHRAE 90.1 that is currently mandated for energy monitoring in large buildings, which actually includes residential buildings like condos with a common area of 10,000 square feet or more, or other buildings 25,000 square feet or more. The system for energy monitoring does just that, monitors the energy. It does not actually save any energy. It's what it's intended to do is tell you if something's going wrong with the system. We had an electrical engineer, Joe Torito, who's an electrical TAC member, told me, and I put in my rationale, that one job that he did, just the equipment for this system, was $40,000. Another electrical engineer, Jerry Solar, contacted me and told me that just the software for a system that he worked on was $35,000. This is a very expensive system, which does not save energy. It monitors its use. We believe that it should be up to the building owner if he wants to spend that kind of money to monitor his energy use. Now, the intent is, and I've been told, the intent is if something goes wrong, it goes to complex. If something goes wrong, this helps you to find it. On the last call, David Rice on the electrical TAC, who had an electrical engineer as well, was asked what they do. How do they know something's going wrong? And he responded, basically, you get a spike in your electric bill, and we go in and we find the problem. That is not as expensive as $65,000 as a starting point for one of these systems. We request you approve this. I did make a further modification to include these exclusions in the reference chapters, reference standards chapter, after Mr. Madani pointed out to me that that was what was done when we made the change to incorporate legislation there. And I would request approval. And I'm here for any questions if you have any. Thank you.
All right, does anybody else in the public wish to speak in support? Anybody in opposition?
Brian Holland, New Code and Standards.
Go ahead, Brian.
All right, good morning, Commission. Thank you very much. I'm speaking in opposition to both the original proposal and the proposal post-TAC review. It was made very clear early on that many of the tax commission were not all that interested in incorporating many of the updates to the 2018 I-codes into our next edition, the seventh edition. There's also been no appetite for above modifications that would enhance or improve the seventh edition from the new requirements of the national model codes. I personally feel this was a huge mistake and a total disservice to the citizens of the state. Mr. Belcher's proposal takes this one step further by removing a requirement of the code that had been in place for a decade, based completely on anecdotal evidence and not one metric alone, the initial cost of compliance. On the other hand, what I have backing my position is the 100-plus ASHRAE 90.1 committee members, the standing committees, have reaffirmed energy monitoring and automatic receptacle control with each subsequent addition and addendum since 2010 addition of that ANSI backing accredited standard. That's important to remember. That's an ANSI document. The fact that no other stand in the nation has amended these two sections out of the standard, the fact that the ICC Commercial Energy Committee Development voted to improve both energy monitoring and automatic receptacle control as a mandatory requirement in the 2021 IEC, and has energy monitoring added to C406 means to receive additional energy efficiency credits when energy monitoring is voluntarily installed and buildings not required to comply with the new C40510. This was reaffirmed during the public comment hearings, the online consensus vote, ICC Validation Committee, and the ICC Board of Directors. Energy Monitoring and ARC has the endorsement of the DOE, PNNL, the Energy Efficiency Code Coalition, the New Buildings Institute, the Institute for Market Transformation, and many, many others. We have a DEC statement 2016-033 that confirmed the importance of energy monitoring and ARC as a mandatory requirement in the Florida Code. We have the endorsement of the majority of the electrical TAC, which was not mentioned. Electrical TAC opposed this at their meeting on 325. So all I ask you to do is to ask yourself what special knowledge or information that you have that makes you believe these two requirements are not appropriate in Florida, despite all these facts. If you support energy conservation and the effective use of energy, do not vote to approve this proposal. Please maintain the integrity of the Florida Energy Code and, more importantly, the ASHRAE 90.1 standard. Thank you.
You practice, Brian, right on the button. Good job. All right. Anybody else in the public wish to speak in opposition? Does the proponent wish a rebuttal opportunity?
Briefly, please. Joe Belcher, FHVA. Brian did mention that the electrical TAC did review this. They did come up with an NAR. That was by one vote. It was not a outstanding majority. The electrical TAC reviewed it. Their vote was unanimous to support this. If a building owner wants to spend this kind of money to put a monitoring system in, he can do that. He or she can. There's no reason we should be mandating that they do that. There's just no good reason to mandate that kind of an expense. If they want to, they can. And that's all there is to it. I mean, thank you.
All right, let me just make one comment. The energy TAC voted unanimously in favor of Mr. Belcher's comment, and the electrical TAC voted 6-4 in favor of Mr. Belcher's comment, just to clarify that. Mr. Holland, would you like an opportunity for a rebuttal?
Yes, please. Brian Holland, Indicator Standards. I agree 100% with everything that Mr. Belcher just mentioned. That's correct, but also make that statement about every other rule, energy code, air barriers, thermal barriers, water heating systems, air conditioning systems, lighting and lighting controls. All of these are requirements and mandatory requirements of the code. For whatever reason, we've decided that the power requirements, a subset of electrical energy, is no longer mandatory in the state, both energy monitoring and automatic receptacle control. And I don't understand that. I've shown these studies. I've shown the Department of Energy, the Federal Department of Energy studies on these in their endorsement. And again, we don't understand what the ROI is going to be, and we don't understand what the impacts are going to be if we didn't receive that information, if we remove those from the code. So I think this is a disservice. Please do not approve.
All right, that concludes public comment. I'll come back to the TAC. The commission, the TAC's recommendation was as modified, including the exclusions. Okay, TAC member.
Mr. Chairman, Shane Gerwig, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Go ahead.
I would like to move for the energy code's recommendation along with the public comment submitted by Mr. Belcher. The move that we approve this modification.
With the exclusions. Okay, is there a second?
Second
from Commissioner Goff. Any discussion, commissioners? All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Are there any opposed?
Don't vote.
Okay. Anybody else? The vote was 23-1. It passes with the modification.
No, someone opposed.
Huh?
Someone opposed also.
Okay, sorry, Jeff. Anybody else opposed? All right, the vote is 22-2. It passes. There was some background noise, so it was difficult. Okay, so the last one for the energy tax.
Jeff, this is Mom and Donnie. I just want to make sure that I heard the word exclusion, if you meant by the fact that you are with, as submitted, if plus the revised language, the added language, which is approved as amended. I just want to make sure somewhere, and I heard exclusion of, I'm not sure what you meant by that. So I just want to make sure that the motion is to approve both the as submitted along with the change that's submitted by Joe Belcher.
Right, that's what I said, the as amended with the additional comment, which Joe described as exclusions, if that was incorrect, but then I'm sorry. But yeah, as modified. Yeah. Okay, the last one recommended for approval for the electrical energy tax, I'm sorry, is on page 9. It's comment number 5, submitted by Joe Easy of Florida Natural Gas Association, and the tax recommended approval as submitted. Go ahead, Joe.
Good morning. This code change, or this comment, I should say, ensures that waste heat from combined heat power systems continue to comply with section 403.4.5, as they always have. Combined heat power systems are technologies that can simultaneously produce electricity and then capture the associated waste heat and apply it back into the building in the form of useful thermal energy, which in turn can be used for countless end-use applications in commercial buildings, such as process heating, sanitizing, cleaning, cooking, water heating, space heating, dehumidification, and even space cooling. I argued before the TAC on March 25th that combined heat power systems increase the building's resiliency and boost total system efficiency, and that the idea that the Florida code would somehow discourage CHP is something we shouldn't let happen, and the TAC voted unanimously to support this. That is all. I will defer technical questions.
Anybody else in the public wish to speak in support?
FHBA in support.
Anybody else?
Brian Holland, New Codes and Standards, speaking in.
Very good. Anybody else? All right. Anybody wish to speak in opposition? Hearing none, I'll come back to the TAC for a motion.
Motion to approve, Smith.
Oscar, second.
A motion and a second from Smith and Kaya. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous. Let's go to the roofing tax. The roofing tax has two recommendations for approval. First is found on page 1. It's a comment number 1 from Mike Fisher of ARMA. Mike, go ahead. And we need to pull up the roofing tax document. There you go. Mike Fisher, are you there? All right. Is anybody here to speak on behalf of this comment? Okay. So the roofing tax recommended approval as submitted, so I'll come back to the commission. Is there a motion, commissioners? Commissioner Swope?
Yeah, I'm trying to work these controls here. This was a I'm going to try and get the gist of this one here and not butcher it too bad here on Mike's behalf, but this was brought about as a of my recollection, my understanding is a complete audit, more of a clerical issue as far as the ASTM number. It was just a typo or cleaning something up in the ASTM standard.
All right, so are you going to move approval?
I'll move approval.
Second, Moria.
I have a motion and a second for approval as submitted. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. All right, next is found on also page one by Mike Silvers from FRSA. There's an additional comment which the TAC did support, as Mike articulated at the meeting, which has been added in there. Mr. Silvers.
Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to speak to you today. This is a the update of the tables in the appendix one to comply with ASCE 716. The manual was previously approved in four different modifications with the understanding that we would update the tables. There was a question on a couple of the tables having to do with hip roof and the effective area at the TAC meeting. We addressed that. New copies have been sent out to the commission members, and I don't know of any new comments received. It seemed to take care of everyone's concerns. So I would urge you to approve the meeting, please.
All right, is there any additional public comment and support?
Yeah, this is Rick Olson of the TRI. I would support Mike Silver's recommendation.
Very good. Anybody else? All right. Anybody wish to speak in opposition? Hearing none, I'll come back to the TAC. Is there a motion to approve it with the additional comment? Mr. Swope?
I'll make the motion.
Second, Boyer.
We have a motion and a second from Swope and Boyer, respectively. Question? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, we'll move on to the structural TAC now. And we'll start with, okay, so just to clarify, we're only taking up those comments that were recommended for approval as ones that didn't receive an affirmative recommendation. Okay, going on to the structural TAC, first is comment number one, which was submitted by Eric Stafford from IBHS. The TAC recommended approval as submitted. Mr. Stafford, are you there? Anybody wish to speak in favor of this modification?
I'll mention that the structural TAC approved as submitted.
Hey,
by
Jeff, can y'all hear me now?
Oh, okay, he's on now.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My microphone on my computer's not working for some reason. I just realized. I'll try to make a couple of comments. But yeah, I don't have to say too much about this. This is a cleanup with ASC 716. I'm cleaning up some existing language in the code. That we forgot during the to deal with during the code process, and if I remember correctly, the TAC vote was unanimous on this item.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else wish to speak in favor? Anybody in opposition? Coming back to the structural TAC, is there a motion?
Shock, move approval.
Compton, second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. All right, next found on page three, comment number two by Gaspar Rodriguez of Miami-Dade County. The structural TAC recommended approval as submitted. Gaspar, are you on?
Yes, I'm on, Jeff. And again, this is a very simple change. We had to do ASC 716 divided or separated category three and four buildings, so it's two different categories. So we just needed two different wind speeds, and it's a pretty simple one, I believe.
Very good. Anybody else wish to speak in support? Anybody in opposition? Hearing none, coming back to our TAC, is there a motion?
A shock, move approval.
Compton, second.
Motion and a second from Shock and Compton, respectively. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, next is found on page four, comment number three, submitted by Mr. Joe Belcher, representing Masonry Association of Florida and Florida Independent Concrete and Associated Products Industry. Mr. Belcher, recommended for approval by the TAC as submitted.
Joe Belcher,
Metro Association of Florida and FICAP. This is just an update of a ASTM standard. Thank you.
All right, any additional public comment and support? Any opposition? Hearing none. Going back to the commission, Commissioner Schock.
Schock, move approval.
Compton, second.
We have a motion and discussion and a second. Is there any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. Our last one for the structural TAC is comment number Fernando Pages, and I think Matt Dobson spoke on that. The TAC recommended the approval as modified with an additional comment, which I think Mr. Dobson made during the meeting and subsequently submitted. Are either of you on the phone, Matt or Fernando?
No, this is Fernando Pages with the Siding Institute, and this is just a cleanup of language to update the polypropylene section of the code to reflect the fact that certain testing approvals are required for certain high density areas and not for the product in general and for any use, only for those specific. Just a little wordsmith.
All right. Anybody else in the public wish to comment in favor?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, it's Eric Stafford with IVHS again. Just wanted to note that, you know, after the TAC meeting, we told the structural, there was one part of the language that was a little bit confusing. As you see on the screen, we worked with VSI and submitted some alternate language. So we'd like to see that, we told the TAC we were going to work on some cleanup language, and that's shown on the screen right now, related to the fire separation distance or flame spread index requirements for polypropylene siding. It's from, okay. Submitted by Matt Dobson.
Right, and so that it would be to include the comment, the additional comment. All right, any other public comment? Coming back to the commission, Commissioner Schock.
Schock, move approval.
And that's with the modification?
Yes, as shown, yeah.
All right, we have a motion to second, including the additional comment. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, well, let's move along now to our swimming pool TAC and pull that document up for review. excuse me. So the first one is found on page one, comment number one, item number two. By Mr. Bob Vincent of Florida Department of Health, that the swimming pool TAC recommended approval as submitted. Bob, are you on? Would you like to speak? Okay, is there anybody who wishes to comment on this from the public? All right, I'm going to go back to the commission. Commissioner Bass.
Motion to approve, Jeff.
Okay.
This is Mo Medani. Let me explain something. I think really this code change has three items. I just want to make sure. Item one was, the TAC recommendation was NAR, but that's because it's already in the draft. So the language that's being asked to be added is already considered in the draft. So the TAC action was NAR. Item number two, the TAC action was to approve as submitted. Item number three was also to approve as submitted. So if you take me three items, I would say would be good as laid out in the document.
Right. So what we have right now is I only introduced item number two of comment number one, and I was going to do item number three, and I wasn't going to do number one because it didn't get a affirmative recommendation. So. But thank you. That's helpful for everybody to see that how it's laid out. There's three items, but only two and three are recommended approval because, as Mo said, item one was handled. So the motion from Commissioner Batts was to approve item number two of comment number one. Is there a second?
Second, Boyer.
A motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Now we're on comment number one, item number three, also submitted by Bob Vincent from the Florida Department of Health, and the TAC did recommend, as Mo described, as submitted. Any public comment? And coming to the TAC, to the commission, Commissioner Batts.
Motion to approve as modified.
Oh, as submitted, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry, as submitted.
Right. Second, Boyer. We have a motion and a second from Batson Boyer. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, now we move on to down on page 4 of the document, comment number 2, submitted by Dallas Bison of the Florida Swing Pole Association. The TAC recommended approval as submitted. Dallas, would you like to speak?
Yeah, I just want to say that this was these comments were an accommodation effort between the Florida Swing Pole Association, Public Pool Coalition, and the Department of Health to smooth out some inconsistencies between some proposed modifications that were all adopted and make them clearer and make them easier to understand and limit potential future conflicts. We are very happy with the outcome of this language, and we hope the commission adopts it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to comment? All right, I'll come back to the commission. Commissioner Batts, that your TAC recommended as submitted.
Motion to approve as submitted, please.
Second, Boyer.
A motion and a second with Commissioner Batts and Boyer respectively. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, found on page 7 of the document is comment number 4 submitted by John Hall of Miami-Dade County. The TAC, the swimming pool TAC and the electrical TAC for that matter, both voted unanimously to recommend approval as submitted. Go ahead, John. John, are you there? Anybody from the public wish to comment?
Brian Holland, the Coastal Kitchen. Florida Swimming Pool Association supports this.
So FSPA and NEMA support it. Anybody else in the public? All right.
Hey, Jeff, this is Mo Mandani, and also just to let you know that the electrical TAC also reviewed this and recommended for approval submitted.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Any further? Seeing no further public comment, I'll go back to the commission. Commissioner Batts is recommended as submitted.
Motion to approve as submitted.
Second, Boyer.
I have a motion second from Batts and Boyer respectively. Is there any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, next is found on page 6. It's comment number 3 by Jen Hatfield of the Pool and Hot Tub Alliance. The TAC recommends the approval as modified, which they made the modification during the actual meeting. So that would be, you know, at this point, what you'd be looking at. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Jeff. Thanks. This comment was simply to adjust the order of treatment with disinfectant and UV for interactive water features. So we just think it was not an intentional error, and the comment simply reverses the order to ensure the UV is done first, followed by the disinfectant. So that's all we did, and then the modification by the TAC was just simply to make sure it said a validated UV system rather than one certified by NSF 50. So we just urge your support of the TAC recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. Anybody else in the public wish to speak in support?
MSPA is in support.
Okay. Anybody else? Any opposition? Coming back to the commission, Commissioner Batts.
Motion to approve.
Second, Boyer.
I have a motion and a second to approve the tax modified version. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, that's all the tax recommendations for approval or for approval as modified. Now we'll take up the 5 comments, and then we'll see if there's any additional comments anybody the public wishes to make before we proceed with a motion to proceed with rule adoption. We're going to take them in the order that they're listed in on the BCIS, which means Eric Stafford is up first. Mr. Stafford, go ahead and make your comment.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, Eric Stafford again. Kind of stumbled upon this one, and I'm not advocating this on behalf of IVHS. It was kind of like to stumble upon this working on a separate project. And it has to do with the unvented attic section in the residential code. But there was a change to this section that brought over part of the some of the changes that were in the IRC, but not all of them. And as I was reading this and comparing it to what's in the IRC, the way it was worded, it seemed to imply that where the IRC would allow the section 5.2, air permeable insulation installed as identified, that was an alternate to the other sections as written in the IRC. What's in the Florida code implied that everything applied. So I reached out to the proponent, Joe Stebrick, and sought his input. You'll see from the email string, he indicated that was correct, that the section 5.2 is intended to be an alternate section to items 5.1 and 5.3. So he recommended some language. I just kind of drafted it up and sent it to Mo for your consideration. I think it's a pretty good clarification.
All right. Anybody else in the public wish to speak in support?
Joe Belcher, FHVA, in support.
Anybody else?
Arlene Stewart, I would say we should follow what Joe Stebrick said. Thank you very much, because we did have a question about this back in May when it was originally done, that to make sure that it followed what was in the IRC. So thank you, Eric, for following up with this. But we should definitely make sure that we follow what Joe had originally done.
Arlene, was that in support?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to speak in support? Anybody in opposition? Seeing none, I'll come back to the commission for action.
Drew? Shock, move approval.
Okay. Shock. We have a second.
Second, Boyer.
All right, we have a motion and a second from Shock and Boyer. Any discussion on the motion? All right. Then all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Next is a comment submitted by Skip Gregory from, I guess we're probably representing ACCA. Is
that as amended or as submitted?
As submitted.
Thank you.
Skip, are you on? Okay, then is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment? I don't see Skip's name on the list here, but okay.
This is Mom and Donnie, if you give me a minute.
Sure, Mo. Go ahead, Mo.
This is really as part of the review of the draft code. One of the reviewers that we consulted with have noted these, editorial changes to section 450 and 449, and those are. And then we made sure to convey those comments to the state agency ACCA, along with Skip, who's the leader consultant. And what you see here is mainly as a response to our findings as a staff while we're reviewing the code.
So, Mo, you're saying that this is something that that the commission should pick up and correct. Is that right?
It's their editorial correction. It's not really kind of very have a lot, any significant issue with the code change. It's all editorial.
Right. Does any commissioner wish to make a motion?
Go ahead, move approval.
All right. Is there a second?
Jock, second.
We have a motion and a second from Whitehead and Shock. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Next is a comment by Spiro Soukas. Is Mr. Soukas on the phone?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for your time today. I just wanted to bring this up. There was a clerical error in the in the 2018 IVC. I'm referencing 2016 version of the TIA 222 revision H, which is latest. It was published in October 2017. For all intents and purposes, we tried to publish it in 2016, but we ran into some delays, and we got it in time before the 2018 IVC was published, so it's in there. It's just, it's more of a clerical error. The 2016 document obviously doesn't exist. It's a 2017 that should be in there. And with that, the revision H was updated to align with the ASC 716. So the highlighted portions in here are all from revision G, the older revision that really don't apply.
Okay, sorry. I'm trying to back you up.
Arlene, you're speaking. You might need to mute yourself. Go ahead. Go ahead, Spiro. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And it's just mainly an update, make sure we're aligning with ASC 716. Just wanted to get the reference correct, so there's no delays in permitting. And again, these exceptions that are highlighted here no longer apply because that's to the older revision G, which was published in 2005.
Okay. Folks, I need to remind folks about muting your phones, your computer or your phone, your audio, if you're not independently going to speak, because it creates a lot of background noise, especially when there's multiple folks. Does anybody in the public wish to speak in support of this proposed amendment? Anybody in opposition? All right, I'm going to come back to the commission for action. Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
Doc, move approval.
We need a second.
Brown, second.
We have a motion and a second from Schock and Brown. Is there any discussion on the motion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? It's unanimous. Next is a comment submitted by Dermot Innes. Is Dermot on the phone? Anybody here to speak in regard to this comment?
Yeah, this is Mom and Donnie. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there somebody else that's fine?
No, no. I was actually going to ask you to go ahead and clarify.
Yeah. This is Mom and Donnie, and mainly a comment, just mainly remove an obsolete standard ASTM C236. This standard was discontinued in 2005 and was replaced by ASTM C1363. And also, as you know, insulation is mainly approved and certified by the federal government, which is mainly fall under CFR, 16 CFR 460. And that's consistent also with the federal requirements for insulation testing and evaluation, where they use ASTM C1363. So this is mainly to make the code to remove an obsolete standard and to make the code current. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment then? I think I already checked. I'll check. Mo, one thing I might speak to Justin or you, I'm not sure which, but it's also changing the word shall to must, and what's more typical in our parlance?
That's the proponent, the person that we submitted it with must, but it's up to the commission whether they want to go with must or go shall. I don't have an issue with that either way.
This is Justin Vogel. I don't think that there is any legal difference between shall and must. They have the same connotation. They're both mandatory.
Okay. So I'll leave it up to the commission then whether you want to change the standard as well as the shall to a must or just the standard. Commissioner, who wants to make a motion?
This is Stone. I think shall is more code language, so I move to use the word shall and approve the modification.
Very good. We have a motion
Second.
I have a motion and a second from Stone and Schock, which is to change update the standard, but to retain the word shall. Any further discussion? And all in favor as amended say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as amended, retaining the word shall. All right. Next, we have two comments submitted by Robert Glass. One's titled comment two and one's comment number three comment number one and number two, Tom. Comment number one is the first comment. Is Robert Glass on?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead. The
proposed changes for under comments one and comment two are similar. So I'll just kind of provide an overview that crosses over both of them so you can get the context. The ULCSA 60335-2-40 standard is currently referenced in the 2017 Florida Residential Code as a reference standard that's equivalent to the UL 1995 standard. The 2017 Florida Mechanical Code currently only references UL 1995. UL 1995 will be obsoleted effective January 1st, 2024, and the UL 1995 standard is being replaced by the UL/CSA 60335-2-40 standard for most products, and the latest edition of this standard is the third edition, 2019. The newest third edition of UL 60335-2-40, published November 2019, has many new requirements for electrical and refrigerant safety. The third edition includes requirements for UVC germicidal lamp systems, CO2 systems, photovoltaic systems, new marking requirements, water ingress rating systems, as well as allowances for low GWP group A2L refrigerant. The ASHRAE 34-2019 includes many new low GWP refrigerants that do not appear in previous editions of the standard. The proposed changes to the 2017 residential code are simply to update the standard references in Chapter 46. The proposed changes to the Florida Mechanical Code are to update the standard references in Chapter 15. Adding reference to the ULCSA 60335-2-40 in Chapter 15, as well as adding the ULCSA 60335-2-40 into sections 908, 918, and 1101 as equivalent or parallel to the UL 1995. In addition, the International Code Council has made changes to the 2021 model codes showing the ULCSA 60335-2-40, as well as updating the references to ASHRAE 15-2019 and ASHRAE 34-2019. And then one final is that the state of Washington has passed similar changes in their building codes in late 2019. So these are the reasons why we bring these proposals forward to the commission at this time.
All right, thank you. So there's two comments, one's to the mechanical and one's to the residential code, which you commented on both of those. Does anybody from the public wish to comment in support?
Yeah, this is Julius Polanco with JB Engineering. My client, just for your information, is Daikin US, who is a major manufacturer of cooling equipment, air conditioning equipment. I served on a UL standard technical panel for those standards, and I will say that UL basically missed the change to the 2018 code to add UL CSA 60335-2-40. They did correct that in the 2021 code. The standards are there as Robert has put them in. So that was more of an error in their updating of the standards for the mechanical code. So this just corrects, that mistake. And I think it's important because 1995 is sunsetting and all the manufacturers are now switching to the 2-40, as we call it. So that's the standard that will be used. As far as the updating of that, the update is a real important one because We've made some major modifications. We worked for 3 years in updating that standard, so I would encourage you to pick that up. It does a lot of what Robert says. It adds low GWP refrigerant requirements. So these are real important for the state of Florida to have them updated. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak in support? All right. Anybody in opposition? All right. Hearing no additional public comment, I'll go to the commission.
I have a question, Jeff. Online, they're showing four comments.
Two of those are just support documents.
Okay. Thank you.
So comment number one is the mechanical. Comment number two is the residential. And those are the only two comments, and the proponent has spoken to both of them. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Coming back to the commission is going first to comment number one, which is related to the mechanical code. Is there any action from the commission?
This is Oscar. I review these changes, and I think that we should adopt this revised standards because it actually applies to manufacturers of equipment that are already designing equipment based on these new standards, even though some of these standards go in effect later after this code section, like in 2024. But they are already designing for that standard. So I think it does no harm. It leaves the current standard in the code and just says, or the new standard. So I would make a motion to approve this comment to incorporate this standard for the mechanical code.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I second David John.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All right, I hear no discussion or no comment from our staff, legal or otherwise. In that case, is there all in favor? Say aye.
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 Is there anybody opposed? All right, it's unanimous. Let's do we already took comment on both, so let's go ahead and do the residential component, which is comment number two.
Okay, so this is Oscar. I would make the same kind of motion for this residential code, chapter 46, to change the reference standards as proposed in this comment.
All right. Is there a second? Any commissioner wish to make a second?
Smith, second.
All right, we have a motion and a second from Kaye and Smith, respectively. Is there any discussion on the motion? No discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, so we have gone through all the tax favorable recommendations. We've reviewed the six comments with five different proponents that were submitted to the BCIS. The last phase before we move into just taking a vote to proceed with rule adoption, is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on any additional potential code amendments? All right. Hearing none, Commissioner Schock, I think we're ready for the motion if you would read it for us.
All right. Thank you. If there's no further discussion, commissioners, is there a motion to adopt the Commission's package of approved code modifications to the 6th edition 2017 for inclusion in the draft 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code and to proceed with rule adoption? And is there a motion and a second?
Shane Gerwick.
All right, we heard a motion from Shane Gerwick. Who makes the second?
Shane.
All right, we'll go with Gerwig and Schilling.
All right, and there is no further discussion. We'll call a question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Congratulations.
Very good. That deserves a clap.
Yes, it does. That was a good job, especially, in fact, we're ready to go into commission member comments right now. And I would say, you know, considering the number of people on this call, it went very, very well, in my view. That being said, we're ready for commission comments. And I know Dr. Stone and Steve Strong had some comments earlier that I said we would push to this area. So if there is any discussion that wants to take place on moving the adoption 6 months of the new code, we can talk about that now. I think just a request to put that on the agenda for the next commission meeting to really take action at that time, but at least now we can get some ideas or thoughts of the commissioners. So if there's any commissioners who'd like to speak, please say so, and Jeff will stack names if needed.
Stone would like to speak.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I think the issue, as I understand, is with the product approvals. Is there a way of carrying through the product approvals for that are already existing past the December 31st date? Instead of adjusting the code adoption, adjusting product approval, length of time for product approvals.
This is Mo Medani. If it's okay with the chair, I think really with regard to the product approval, as you know, that the program is a subset of the code. So as the code it get updated, then the product approval application get updated, because the issue is the references standard and what these applications are based on. So it tried to really approve the code, but then at the same time say, well, you know, product can still be really using old standards. You're mainly creating at this point really a confusion and a problem at the enforcement level. So I think you want to be consistent. I don't think you can really separate the two.
Commissioner Stone, would you like to follow up?
No, basically is I hope that we carry this discussion to the next meeting with full public comment. I hate to delay the adoption of a code for too long, but making an adjustment because of the virus that is causing the disturbance in our economy right now, I think we should consider that.
So that seems...
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, just from a process perspective, that I think that's really the smartest move, is to have an agenda item, let people make comments and submit them in advance, and we can, you know, the commission can discuss it, the public can discuss it, and the commission can come to a decision with, you know, a properly noticed major agenda item at the next meeting in June.
Thank you, because I've received phone calls on this item, agenda, this issue, so I think we do need a public hearing on it.
Tom, do you think we should have a motion, or is it just sufficient that we'll put it on the agenda?
I don't think you need to have a motion. We'll include it on the June agenda, and we'll make sure to send out an email blast to all the interested parties to let them know that it's going to be on the June agenda, and to send in written any comments that they may have.
Great. That makes good sense.
This is Commissioner Calleja. I have a question on the legal side of it, on how that impacts the code, you know, 3-year cycle. And if for the next meeting we could have the legal staff.
That'll be the plan. We'll bring out the implications for continuing ed, the implications for product approval, the implications for the manufactured building program, the program. We'll build that agenda item with all the stuff that we think could be impacted by postponing the code.
I would add also the coordination with the state fire marshal with regard to the Florida Fire Prevention Code, because you don't want to really not be consistent with regard to time of effective date for both codes. Otherwise, you'll have a problem there.
That'll be good to have on there too, Mo. You're right.
Yep, those were great.
All right, Tom, this is Justin. You don't want me to provide any comments at this time.
We'll just build it all for June, Justin.
Yeah, I was just trying to give people an opportunity to throw out some issues that you can be working on between now and then.
Okay. Any other commissioners have any comments? All right.
Thank you. Next is public comment. Is there any public comment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it's Steve Strawn again.
Yes, Steve.
Thank you, Steve Strawn from Strawn Code Consulting. I appreciate Commissioner Stone's help on this. This issue has come up to me, and it's really on very short notice, as everybody is sort of having to react to the virus on very short notice by, frankly, curtailing some manufacturing, making some significant cutbacks on staffing and that sort of thing. So these manufacturers, it's been pointed out, this is a complex issue, and frankly, those manufacturers with complex product lines are faced with dealing with the loss of services to deal with the view of their files and get them ready for uploads. So, that's one of the things that it's facing. I believe that the correct action has been suggested is to move it out to June. It gives everybody a chance to sort of see where we're going to land. We don't really know, quite frankly, what the economic effects will be. Certainly there will be recovery, but how soon will we have recovery? None of us really knows. So putting this off till June is not going to be perhaps significant in the long-term effect. I would ask for a little bit of clarification. Is there, in fact, a December commission meeting where product approvals can be heard or will be heard? I'm not sure that I'm clear on that.
There is a December meeting for product approval, but those products, to be heard, yes.
So with that said, well, and I appreciate it. If there's any opportunity to postpone the implementation of the code for 6 months, it would be helpful. I understand that there are some issues with that, some complexities with that, but we're also entering into some sort of unprecedented times that are causing a lot of folks some heartburn. So I do appreciate your indulgence on that.
No problem, man. We'll look at all the help. The whole thing has to be looked at in total and see how this could be really done moving forward. So it's more of a number of things have to be considered if we decide to postpone the effective date of the Florida Building Code. So we'll take that in consideration.
Thanks, Bo. I'll be honest with you. I don't take this lightly. I understand the desire to get the code out on time. It's something that is a structural TAC member and all we've always strived for that sort of following the schedules. It's a little bit of a difficult decision, but I also understand some of the complexities out there as well.
Okay. Any other public comment?
Joe Belcher.
Mike Belcher.
All right. Belcher's next.
Can I go?
Yeah, you're next, Joe. Go ahead.
Okay. Joe Belcher for FHBA. I just want to point out that if in fact there is a delay of effective date, we need at the same time consider a delay in the starting of and the effective date of the 8th edition and following editions. We don't want to delay 6 months on the 7th edition and have a new code in 2.5 years. So that's another aspect to look at. And I do agree that a delay will create unless there's a delay in the fire prevention code, that'll create some major issues there. Thank you.
All right. Who is the other person that wanted to speak?
Mike Silvers, FRSA.
Go ahead, Mike.
something for the commissioners to consider on this, and I haven't talked to our group yet to know how they would stand. So I think the idea of public notice and discussing it later, but we've got an awful lot of instruction to do in our industry having to do with the change with ASCE 716, and not knowing when and how we're going to be able to put seminars on. I think it could be helpful from that stance as well, is that it's going to be hard to teach some of the stuff with the new code when it's impossible for us to meet. We're obviously looking at video conferencing and things of that nature, but I still think it's a good consideration. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public?
On behalf of FSPA, we'd like to see this discussion pushed at least till this June, so we have time to get input from our members as to the feelings of delaying implementation of the code.
Very good. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Rick Olson with the Tile Roofing Industry Alliance. I would echo Mike Silver's comments. We do a lot of joint training together, plus all of our concrete and clay roof tile manufacturers maintain product approvals that we have to get updated for all of these new codes. So we'd be in support of the discussion about delaying it to June as well.
All right, anybody else? All right, Jeff.
Thank you. Before we go on, I just wanted to mention, please, all commissioners, stay on the line. Jeff's gonna have to make a closing roll call, as we always do on online meetings. So I didn't want anybody hanging up early. That being said, the next meeting focus will be June 2nd, 2020 meeting, and the focus on the commission's regular procedural and substantive issues, relevant rule development initiatives, and approving the commission's annual report to the legislature. Staff will keep the commission informed regarding whether we will have a face-to-face meeting or in Sarasota or a virtual meeting. With that, Jeff, would you do final roll call?
Hey, Jeff, through the chairman, I want to make an announcement. As I mentioned in reviewing the work plan for the development of the 2020 code, come April 20th, you should be able to see and review the first draft of the 2020 Florida Building Code. Please take your time, review it, and let us know what you think. So if you have any comments or anything, still forward those to me. But I would also, we will send a mass email as soon as it's posted to let you know of that. So I appreciate your review of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mel.
All right. Yeah. Yes, sir. Before I do the roll call, I did want to remind commissioners, I sent you an evaluation. Normally I give them to you. It would be appreciated if you could, email those back to me, and we're looking for specific feedback on how the virtual meeting went, your thoughts, any ideas for improvements. That's question number 8 in the evaluation. So please get that back to me today if you can, tomorrow at the latest, so I can get the report done. Thanks. All right. Commissioner Schock.
Here.
Commissioner Badori.
Here.
Commissioner Batts.
Here, Jeff.
Commissioner Boyer.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Commissioner Smith-Burke.
Here.
Commissioner Kaya.
Here.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Commissioner Dean.
Present.
Commissioner Fisher.
Here.
Commissioner Gatlin.
Present.
Commissioner Gerwig.
Here.
Commissioner Gilson. Commissioner Goff.
Here.
Commissioner Gross.
Here.
Commissioner Hamburger.
Here.
Mr. John.
Here.
Mr. Langeal.
Here.
Mr. Schiffer.
Still on.
Commissioner Schilling.
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Very good. Commissioner Stone?
Here.
Commissioner Swope?
Here.
Commissioner Whitehead?
Here.
Commissioner Wiseman?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have the same 24 we started with, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think this meeting went pretty well, considering we had over 100 people on it. Congratulations. Jeff, you did a great job, and Tom, in setting all this up. I think it worked pretty well. With that being said, if there's no further business, I think we can stand adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for participation.
Thank you all.
Thank you.